Well, it's a joy to be in the service tonight, isn't it? Appreciate the Lord allowing us to be in the service, and good to see this good number that's come out to be with us. As far as I remember, one of the biggest crowds we've had in this fellowship meeting, and I think I've been a part of every one of them. I always look forward to it every year. I really do. A lot of anticipation. I'll start asking Brother Sims. Of course, we eat together about every day, talk together every day. Now I get to asking, y'all talking yet? Y'all arranging the meeting? Where's it going to be? Who's going to be moderating? Things like that. I've already been encouraged by being here. I've been strengthened by being here. I thought about that song that they sung, how I long for that rest. And I got to thinking to myself, and I could be wrong, but I don't think I am about this, that biblical Christianity is the only religion that has any concept whatsoever of eternal rest. It's the only religion that does. You take all the Eastern religions that are built mainly on mysticism, and they all have a concept in one form or another of reincarnation. You live this life, and based on your deeds, whether the good outweigh the bad, you'll either go up a level in life or you'll go down a level in life, but you got to come back and do it all over again. There's no rest in that. Even pseudo-Christian religions, Catholicism, they really don't have a concept of rest, because there's the great possibility that when you expire, you'll have to go to purgatory and depend upon the merits of somebody else to get you out of there. There's no rest in that. But there remaineth a rest for the people of God. And we look forward to that day for eternal rest. Thank you, Brother Jack, for the preaching. I appreciate the Word of God. I'd invite you to look with me, please, in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 1. If you have a Bible, please turn there with me. The book of Galatians chapter number 1. When you find your place, would you stand with me to rest from your seat? And we'll honor the public reading of God's infallible, inspired Word. I agree with Brother Jack. We need more of this book, don't we? Need more of the preaching of the Word of God. The book of Galatians chapter number 1. And I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our fathers, we bow in your divine presence tonight. We are privileged, Lord, to have assembled with this thy people tonight. Thank you for the songs of Zion that have been sung. Thank you, Father, for these testimonies that have been rendered tonight. Thank you for the presence of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Thank you for Brother Jack, Lord, and for helping him as he opened the Word of God and preached to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that we would pay attention and take heed of what the man of God has preached. Without your touch, Lord, all is in vain. Pray now that you'd help us. Help me, Lord, to say what's on my heart. Help me to say what's in this text. Help me to be faithful to the Word of God. I pray you'd give us receptive hearts tonight. I pray the Spirit of God would open our spiritual ears. We would hear tonight what thus saith the Lord to the churches. Thank you for every church, Lord. Thank you for my home. Thank you for allowing me to be born, Lord, in this county. It's your favor and it's your grace. It's nothing that I deserve, Lord. Been affiliated with most of these churches my whole life. And it's a privilege, Lord, to stand before them tonight. Please help me, Lord. Be upon me. Preach through me tonight, Lord. I pray they'd not hear my voice, but they'd hear your voice tonight. I pray, Lord, they'd not see me, but they'd see you high and lifted up. We ask all these blessings and favors, and these are great things that we ask. But you're a great God tonight. We ask them in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Next to the book of Romans and perhaps the book of Ephesians. I don't know that there's any more consequential or important book in all of the New Testament canon of Scripture than the book of Galatians. It's a little bit different of a letter that Paul writes for us in this particular letter. It's one that he writes with his own hand. He tells us toward the end of the book, he says, "You see how large of a letter that I've written with my own hand." Most of the time, Paul would have a secretary or an amanuensis that would write the words that he would speak under inspiration. I believe the subject that's in consideration tonight and the matter that Paul wants to deal with in the book of Galatians is one that he felt of the utmost importance and one that he wanted to write with his own hand. Most of his letters are written to specific congregations, to specific churches. The book of Romans is written to that church that even though he had not visited them, there was a congregation there in Rome, and he wrote that letter to that church. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians are written to the church there in the city of Corinth. On and on tonight. Or he would write a letter to a specific individual, as he did to Timothy and to Titus and to Philemon. But tonight in the book of Galatians, he's not writing to one specific church. He's writing to a multitude of churches. He noted in verse number 2, "And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia." So he's writing to a region, to a group of churches. We know these churches were founded upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel that Paul preached likely on his first missionary journey. Now he's writing to them because of an issue that has crept up in these churches. A lot of times there'll be one issue that will affect one body, but there was an issue that was plaguing all the bodies in this region. There was a virus that was spreading from church to church. It was threatening the health of the body of Christ in this region. Now, Paul gives the most glorious exposition of the gospel and the declaration of the cross that man could have ever written in the book of Romans. He fully exposes in the book of Romans what God has done in Christ to save sinners tonight. And when he comes out of the book of Romans, now there's no accidents in your Bible tonight. There's no kind of wrong order in your scripture. You are not at liberty tonight to take one book and move it to the other. I believe the Holy Spirit was in government and in affairs to give us the Bible tonight to preserve it. I believe he inspired it through the original authors. And I believe his hand has guided it down through history, through centuries, even into your lap tonight. So there's no accidents in this Bible. There's no, you really can't take the liberty to say that one word should have been translated in another fashion. That is to disbelieve the Word of God. That is to discredit the Word of God. And you're not at liberty tonight to really mess with the order of these books. The Holy Spirit superseded the intellects of men and put them in the very order that they should have been. When you come out of the book of Romans, you come to 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you come to the book of Galatians. And that is no accident tonight. Because in 1st and 2nd Corinthians and then in Galatians, the gospel, my friend, is pictured and the gospel is presented with two different forms of attack against the gospel. Make sure tonight that the world and the devil wants to corrupt this message of the gospel tonight. And they do it through two different avenues. In the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the gospel is attempted to be corrupted through lasciviousness. That's what you see in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You have folks that are abusing grace. You have folks that are using grace as a crutch. You have folks that have sort of a pseudo-profession and they've gone off into deep, gross, immoral sins. And Paul writes to them and tells them that such were some of you, but you're no longer that. You've been washed, you've been justified, you've been sanctified. You have been set free from the bonds and the chains of sin. And you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. Therefore, you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God tonight. A Christian can never lift up his voice and say, "I am my own person." A Christian can never lift up his voice and say, "My life is my own and I will do what I please." You are a bondservant to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He owns you and he wants to get glory out of your life. The gospel, my friend, is attempted to be corrupted by
those who say that the grace of God cannot change a man. But if any man be in Christ, Paul said to that Corinthian church, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I don't care what translation you get, that's a fact tonight. That if you be in Christ, there is a power, my friend, that's greater than this world, that can accomplish what AA cannot accomplish. It'll accomplish what the dry out clinic cannot accomplish. It'll take a man from the muck and mire of sin and put him in the family of God and make him a fit subject for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Paul had confidence in those Corinthian Christians, but he got to the end of his letter and he said, now you're going to have to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. We spend a lot of times trying to prove it to everybody else that we're in Christ. But if you'll prove it to yourself, you won't have to prove it to anybody else. They'll know it. Then you come to the book of Galatians. And make no mistake tonight that when you come to the book of Galatians, this is a defense of the gospel. What was going on in the churches of Galatia, the region of Galatia, was that false teachers had come in amongst the body, and they were attempting to pervert the grace of God by adding works to grace tonight. And what I'm amazed about when I read the book of Galatians, when I ponder the book of Galatians, when I consider the book of Galatians, what I'm amazed about tonight is that Paul has to write to a church, has to write to a group of believers, write to a group of people that have been baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, and tell them that they are at danger through what they're believing and what they're promoting and what they're practicing, that they are in danger of perverting and losing the gospel of the grace of God tonight. Paul goes on the offense more than he did in 1st and 2nd Corinthians in the book of Galatians. Paul could entertain, Paul could help, Paul could work with an immature believer. And I think that's what you had largely in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You had some immature believers that just hadn't been taught better. You had some folks that had not been instructed properly. You had some folks that had come in behind the Apostle Paul and told that church at Corinth that there is no resurrection, your faith is in vain, all these things. Paul's not even really a true man of God anyway. He's a Johnny come along lately. He wasn't with Peter, he wasn't with John, he wasn't with James. Don't listen to him, listen to us. And Paul comes back along and says, oh yes, I am the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I might be the least of the least, but I saw him as one born out of due time. And the words that he spoke had the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, history tells us that that church at Corinth repented of their sins. They got right with God and they went on for the glory of God. That's what believers do. Believers, when they're confronted with truth, when they're dealt with from thus saith the word of God, they don't get mad at the preacher. They don't turn away and say that's his own opinion or that's his own belief. When the man of God looks at you in the face and says what you're doing is sin and you've been saved from that and delivered from that, they don't get a committee together and try to find a new pastor. They get on their knees and say, oh God, forgive me, and they get right with the Lord. That's what happens. God uses preaching to save you, but God uses preaching to school you and to grow you and to mature you and to progress you so he can get the maximum glory out of your life. That's what God wants to do before he lets you leave here. He wants to wring everything out of your life. Use you up completely. Huh? He saved you and deposited his glory in you. He put his spirit in you. And he put you in his body. Which, by the way, we need to be reminded that the church is not my body. And the church is not your body. And the church don't belong to the state. And the church don't answer to the government. We have one head. And he's seated in heaven tonight. And we're here on his behalf. We're here to do his business. And purposes. He puts you in His body and He wrings you out and gets all of you that He can and uses you for His glory. And when He's done, then He'll bring you up to where He's at. Amen. Churches at Galatia, though, they were not in a position of living loose. If you'd have walked into any of the churches in Galatia, Brother Randall, you would have thought that these folks were toeing the line. I believe what Brother Jack preached about the need of separation. I'm not modifying or changing not one thing that he preached tonight. Amen. When I say what I'm about to say. I believe we are to be separate from the world, and we have been called to be separate from this world. Amen. We're to think different than this world. Yeah. Does anybody besides me look around at how this world thinks about things and says, where did you come up with that at? Huh? Here's the fact tonight, okay? This is how messed up our world is. We will spend billions of dollars of your hard-earned tax money to send rockets into outer space. And we'll go to Mars and we'll drill and we'll dig through all of that red clay, hoping that we'll find evidence of a single cell organism and life. And when we do, they'll say there's life on other planets. But yet we'll let a mother walk into Planned Parenthood with a real life in her. And we will allow them to rip that life out of a womb. And we will rejoice when they find life at Mars. And we'll yawn when they talk about abortion on the evening news. That's how messed up we are. Huh? Folks will weep themselves to death when they shoot an ape that's trying to kill a kid. Somebody said, did you see them marching on Washington, the March for Life? And I'm for that, and I would support that. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Greg Barkley. If we were really concerned about that, we wouldn't be marching on Washington. We'd be weeping over Washington. Huh? We'd be saying, God, help us. We've perverted that thing. We're supposed to be separate from the world. We don't think like them. We don't look through the same lens that they look at. We don't see issues like they see them. We think on another level. We deal with another revelation that's deeper than any revelation that they have. I remember, let me say this, and I didn't have an outline when I started. I'm just going to kind of give this to you as it comes to me, okay? I remember a few years ago I was in a class. I was getting my master's degree. Brother Jeff. And we had a study session one night. It was really late, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and they had asked me to come, and it was a statistics class. Now, Brother, I know Brother William is good at carpentry. Brother William, I'll come help you do anything you want me to, but do not give me a tape measure, and don't trust me with any measurements and dimensions and all them other things. Because Brother Sims will tell you, I can't do it. I don't have them skills, Brother Lynn. But for some reason, equations and formulas and things like that make sense, told Brother Kitchens. So I'm up there, you know, and I'm working out equations with them and working out formulas with them. And we take a break, and we go and we get us a Coca-Cola out of the machine and come back and sit down, and we start working again. It gets about 9:30, and I say, well, I got a long drive. It was in Huntsville. I said, if it's all right, we'll call this session to a close. They said, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. They said, well, why don't you swing by the bar with us on your way home and sit down and have a drink with us? I said, I don't drink. They said, at all? I said, no, not at all. They said, well, just come sit around with us. I said, let me ask you something. I said, have you got a wife at home? He said, yes, I do. I said, you got a children at home? He said, yes, I do. I said, what about you, buddy? You got a wife at home? Yes, I do. Got children at home? Yes, I do. I said, what business do you have sitting in a smoke-filled room drinking whiskey with a bunch of other men? Get home to your wife and get home to your children. They said, well, that's just what we do. I said, that ain't what we do. I said, I'm going home to mama, and I'm going home to my children. I mean, us in the world, we think completely different. We're on two different wavelengths. The world is going this way, and and the church is going another way. Yeah. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't belong to the world. If we belong to this world, then Jesus said the world would know you. But you are not your own. You're not of this world. Therefore, the world knows you not because it knew him not. There's a miraculous thing takes place when an individual gets saved by the grace of God. They are taken out of this world and placed into Christ. And now you're a stranger of this world, but you're known in another world. So we got to separate from it. And it happens naturally. Separation happens naturally. You don't have to force it. It happens naturally. But you can separate yourself all you want to, and you'll never save yourself. Many trust their separation. Many boast in how separated they are. Many sit around and say, thank God I'm not like this one. And thank God I'm not like that one. Thank God we don't do this. Thank God we don't do that. Trust in your separation will send you to hell. These Galatian believers were as separated as they come. What they had was an issue where they were adding their own works and their own merits and their own strengths to the gospel of God's free grace. Liberals in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Legalists in the book of Galatians. Now, some of you have standards and convictions, and I do as well. And we've come to a church age where if you have standards and convictions, if you dress a certain way or don't go places, you'll get called a legalist. You try to live right and somebody will call you a legalist. Most of the time what they're doing is they're being touched with their own conscience about their sorry way of living. But that's not a legalist. A legalist is not somebody who tries to bring honor and glory to God in their life. A legalist is not someone who tries to let their light so shine before men that men may see their good works and glorify their Father. Now listen, I hope tonight in the course of the message, and I'll try to be done here in just a minute, I hope that you don't get the impression that Brother Chris does not believe in works. I do believe in works. I believe salvation is works. I believe salvation is a work of God that produces good works in men. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You talk about your faith and you discredit my works, but yet you have no words to back up your faith. I declare to you that your faith is dead, being alone. Amen. That's what James said. You talk about your faith and have no words, I will show you my faith by my works. That's what thus saith the word of God. We're saved and we really trade slave masters. You know that when we get saved?